Coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
You know, we have rhythms in nature. We have the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, and then the lunar cycles, and we have the months and the seasons and the year. So it only makes sense that our body has its own cycles and own seasons.
Hey, everyone, it's Dr. Mark. I recently found a new drink that fits into my vegan diet, and it's honestly something I always look forward to when I need a nourishing pick-me-up. It's the Sun Goddess Matcha Green Tea from Peak. And it's the best tasting and smoothest mixing matcha I've ever tried. I'm sure you heard me talk a lot about using food as medicine, and matcha is a great example of this. It's full of polyphenols, which are especially helpful for our good gut bugs, and other antioxidants to support better aging, a balanced blood sugar, and a strong immune system. I love blending the Sun Goddess matcha powder with some hemp or oat milk in a creamy latte as part of my morning ritual. I've also used it in recipes like my matcha poppy bread or various smoothies, and it works great every time. It's also the only matcha that's 100% organic, ceremonial grade, and quadruple toxin tested for purity. Matcha makes a great alternative to coffee because it provides sustained energy without the jitters. L-theanine is a powerful amino acid in matcha that helps you feel calm, focused, and clear, so you get a boost without the crash. Peak Sun Goddess Matcha actually contains more theanine because they shade their matcha plants 35% longer than other brands. I really do feel awake, focused, and balanced after enjoying my matcha every morning. Right now, you can get free shipping on your first order of Sun Goddess Matcha and the other delicious teas from Peak. Just head over to peaktea.com/Hyman and use the code Hyman. That's PIQUETEA.com/Hyman with the code Hyman for free shipping. Decades ago, I read a book about how light dramatically influences our health because of its impact on our circadian rhythms. Ever since, I've been fascinated with the research around light exposure and how we can use light to optimize our health. But our modern, always-on culture means we're now surrounded by LED and fluorescent bulbs and digital devices with bright lit screens that emit junk light around the clock. My friend Dave Asprey actually coined the phrase junk light to describe the excess of blue light as well as green and violet light that disrupt our circadian rhythms. Junk light reduces our ability to produce melatonin, which is a key hormone for regulating our internal clocks, sleeping well, and even aging well. Lack of quality sleep has been linked to everything from weight gain and diabetes to heart disease, mood disorders, and even cancer. So when I heard about TrueDark glasses, I knew I had to try them. TrueDark's Twilight line are the strongest sleep hacking glasses on the market. They use proprietary technology to block up to 100% of blue, green, and violet light at night. The TrueDark Twilights essentially signal to your brain that it's dark outside, putting your brain into alpha or a meditative state, so you can fall asleep quickly and rest more deeply. After using them myself, I can say they really do help me get deeper, more restful sleep. Right now, you can improve your own sleep and get 15% off at TrueDark.com with the code DrHyman15. That's TrueDark.com with the code DrHyman15. Now, let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy. Welcome to The Doctor's Pharmacy. I'm Dr. Mark Hyman. That's pharmacy with F, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, a place for conversations that matter. And if you've ever felt out of sync or out of balance, well, this probably is the conversation you should listen to because it's about what we call chronobiology, which is, in other words, our circadian rhythms and our biological rhythms, which we mostly ignore. And today we're having a special episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy with Dr. Todd Lapine. It's our house call episode where we dive deep into issues in the functional medicine space and help you understand your body in a new way and understand how to access health using the framework of functional medicine. Welcome, Todd.
Thank you, Mark. This is all great, right. Great topic.
So years ago, our mentor, Sid Baker, who's one of the genius minds in medicine, my belief, yep, in the 20th, 21st century, basically wrote this book called The Circadian Prescription. And yep, he was the first one who really talked about the role of rhythm in health.
Yeah.
So can you tell us why rhythm and circadian rhythms and chronobiology is actually so important? And what is it all about anyway?
All right. Well, you're absolutely right. I read the book that Sid Baker wrote, The Circadian Prescription. That's sort of where the sort of light bulb went off in my head, say, you know, this is really important stuff. And it's sort of the fourth dimension of health, which is time. And understanding that, you know, we have rhythms in nature. We have the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, and then the lunar cycles. And we have the months and the seasons and the year. So it only makes sense that our body has its own cycles and own seasons. And understanding that we have these internal clocks, and we actually have genes. They're called clock genes, and they have to synchronize. Just like an orchestra, it's got a lot of different pieces. You know, we were talking earlier in a podcast about how many different chemical reactions are going on in the body. You have chemicals being made, you have chemicals being broken down, you have chemicals being detoxified, and you have all these rhythms going on in the body, and they're happening in harmony, if you will. And just like when you have an orchestra, in order for an orchestra to make really good music, what do you need? You need a conductor. And this is understanding that the body's conductor is synchronizing the whole body in terms of the liver and the heart and the muscles and digestion and all of those factors. So our body's ability to have a good rhythm is key towards health. And I learned this early on when I was in private practice, because you probably had some patients like this too, Mark, is the patients that I could never, ever help to get better, no matter what they came in for, were shift work. I'll never forget it because, you know, I was so frustrated. They came in and they had, you know, they were tired. They had diabetes. They had brain fog. They couldn't lose weight. You know, you name it. And I'm like, you know, banging my head against the wall. And then lo and behold, I figured out, you know what? Shift work is not good for you, because don't mess with Mother Nature. You know, you don't want to be eating when you should be sleeping and vice versa. That's really the bottom line. And what happens is when you disrupt those circadian rhythms, and we know this ourselves, if you've ever had jet lag, you know that you don't feel good when you have jet lag. And that's a sort of an acute example of a circadian rhythm gone bad. You know, you talk about Breaking Bad. Well, that's really exactly a form of Breaking Bad. Yeah, it's not a good thing. So understanding, you know, shift work and jet lag really sort of will highlight the importance of getting your body into a good rhythm. And the things that are key for getting your body into rhythm, the primary thing is light. And what I would say is that most people are not getting enough light, and specifically sunlight. Now, we do have patients, Mark, that, you know, they have like what we call seasonal affective disorder. So if you live, in a high enough altitude or latitude, you can get seasonal affective disorder. And that's where you don't get enough light. And all of a sudden you start feeling, you know, lethargic and tired and depressed, because the sun really affects your whole rhythm. And there's a part of the brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. And your eye is literally like the metronome to the body. It keeps the body in sync. So there are certain, in the German term is called Zeitgeber, which is the clock synchronized. Light is the key thing. So I always tell my patients that when you wake up, try to get exposure to sunlight early on, within 20 to 30 minutes of awakening. And that exposure to light helps to get all of your body clocks in sync, if you will, so that the orchestra can produce really good music. So light is a key thing. And then one of the other key things is the timing of your food. And what we're finding out now is it's not only what you eat, but it's when you eat. And I can remember, Mark, when you were at Canyon Ranch, you always had the big saying, which, you know, eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, and dinner like a pauper. And that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very, very true.
That's right.
And one of the things that you'll see in patients who have problems losing weight is that they're eating when they should be sleeping. You know, they're eating these late meals, big meals late at night, or they're sort of randomly having their food. It's also very important to time your food. So, you know, each day you're having your meals at approximately the same time so that your body gets into a really good rhythm. And it's better to front load your calories.
You're right. It just reminded me of, like, you know, these people live to be like 100 and whatever. They all like have a routine. They have the same thing every day. They do exercise every day. They have like their little schedule. And I think there's something to be said about that.
There's something to be said. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Todd, you know, COVID is the first time in my adult life, really, that I've been able to be in a rhythm.
In a good rhythm.
Yeah. In a good rhythm. Because when I was younger, you know, I was working as a family doc and staying up all night and working in the ERs and then, you know, traveling for decades, you know, different time zones, different hotels, you know, having a rhythm or routine, it really took a toll on my health. And since COVID, almost last year now, so I've been more or less stationary and able to develop routines of taking care of myself, of eating, sleeping, working out. And it's incredible how important chronobiology is to our health.
It absolutely is. Now, I can remember, you know, you're speaking about, you know, doing night shifts, because I can remember when I was doing in private practice and I used to do a call at night. It's one thing to be up at night, you know, when you should be sleeping. It's another to be up at night and you're dealing with someone who's having a life or death situation, a heart attack, heart failure, a cardiac arrhythmia. So I can remember distinctly that there was a big change in my health when I had to do call over extended periods of time. And not only was I up at night, but I was actually pumping out a lot of stress hormones. I was like, you know, reaching, were you reaching for food at night, Mark, when you're on call? Like, yeah, give me some food. What are you doing? Reaching for like sugary things that pick your energy up. So it's
oh, sure. Really, sure. I mean, because, yeah. You know, you get high levels of ghrelin when you're not getting enough sleep, which makes you crave starch and sugar and carbohydrates. For sure. I was doing that.
Yeah, you reach for those donuts and whatever else you can find in the hospital, right?
yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah, so yeah. You know, what's interesting also is you know, you talk about the effects on timing of eating, sleeping, all the things we're doing, exercise. They're important, and what's also really striking is that, you know, the light thing you talked about was really important.
Yeah.
That the disturbances in our light, meaning we are exposed to artificial light in times when we should be not at night, and one of the books that I read years ago was called Lights Out.
Lights Out.
It was a fascinating book about how our health has degraded since the invention of the light bulb.
Absolutely.
that we stay up late at night. And now we're worse than the freaking light bulb. We've got the screens, the TVs, or devices with all this blue light that's causing us to shut down melatonin production, affect our sleep and our quality of our energy. So there's a lot of things that disturb that.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. In fact, I have some extra slides, which they can post for the podcast about light pollution. And there's some interesting slides looking from satellite imagery, looking from the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, and 2000. What you see is the whole world's lit up at night. It's very, very hard to find places at night. And I experienced this firsthand. I'll never forget it when I was giving a lecture down in New York City. And it was like about 10 o'clock at night and I was going to be lecturing the next day. So I said, well, I'm just going to go down and I'll walk the streets of New York. And I'm out in Times Square. So if you've ever been in Times Square late at night, guess what? It is all lit up and whatever. And it's like you got all these lights, right? So I'm like, you know, I'm out there walking from like, maybe about 10 o'clock to 11:30. I go back to my room. There was no way I could sleep. I mean, I could not sleep the entire night because all my melatonin was suppressed by all the LED lights on Broadway. It was like, somebody hit me in the head with a hammer saying, yeah, wake up here. Lights are not good for you at night.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So key. Yeah. And what's also interesting is, you know, even, you know, more traditional medicine is coming around to this. And in chemotherapy, we're now learning that there are times where different cancers respond to different chemo drugs, and the timing of cancer therapy has a huge impact on the outcomes with patients, which is really striking.
Took the words right out of my mouth. In fact, there was actually a recent article that we're talking about. When's the best time to give a vaccination? You know, some people are getting the coronavirus vaccination. That's another topic unto itself. But it's thought that it's probably better to give a vaccination later on in the day, because early on you have a jump up in your cortisol, and cortisol suppresses your immune system. And it's thought that if you give a vaccination earlier in the day, you may not have as robust of an immune response to the vaccination. So for those people who want to get any type of vaccination, it's probably better to delay it to about 3 o'clock or so.
Oh, the afternoon. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So people often in medicine, my experience in traditional medicine, we don't get taught how to reset people's rhythm.
Yep.
And the key aspects of resetting people's rhythm and the importance of rhythm in our health. And I think, why don't we go through, you know, for example, a patient that might have had a disturbed rhythm, and how do you help restore their rhythm? What are the kinds of things we think about? What do you test for? And how do you start to treat them?
Yeah, so typically you can have patients who have, you know, like a delayed sleep onset or a circadian rhythm disturbance. And, you know, sometimes what I'll have patients do is I'll have them, you know, if they're going to bed at like 5 o'clock in the morning, what I'll have them do is stay up the entire day until they're completely really tired and go to bed at like 6 or 7 o'clock the following evening. Sometimes you also have to have a patient work with a behavioral therapist to change their behavior. I think naturally there are some people that are what I would call, morning people and people who are more night owls, there's a natural tendency of that, especially teenagers tend to want to stay up later at night. But in general, you know, you want to get into the rising and the setting of the sun. So I usually tell people, you know, when you look at the animal kingdom, what do the animals do? You know, when the sun rises, they get up, they start tweeting, the birds run around, and they start finding their food. And when it's dark out, what do the animals do? They go to sleep. They don't sit up watching television. They're not on their smartphones, and they're not raiding the refrigerator. So the things to do is at least first get people aware of the fact that they're being sleep deprived. And in addition to being out of sync, what's oftentimes happening with people nowadays is they're not getting enough sleep. So sleep deprivation is probably epidemic in the United States. And, you know, what do we do nowadays if people are tired? We give them amphetamine, right? We just pump them up with either amphetamine or caffeine and just like, oh, say, keep going. What we do know is that you can take, you know, young, healthy college kids. And if you sleep deprive them and only let them sleep for maybe 4 or 5 hours, within a matter of 3 days, they start becoming insulin resistant, which is like a form of pre-diabetes. So getting enough sleep and getting deep restorative sleep are really, really key. And part of the ability to do that is to have a good circadian rhythm. Another thing which I also wanted to talk about, Mark, is as it relates to the circadian rhythm, is that there's a timing of when your body does things. And one of the most important things for me personally is to sleep in a cool room. I oftentimes will leave the window open, and my room is pretty darn cold. And when you think about that I think there are some companies out there that have these things called cooling mats. They basically have a chill pad and they basically lower your body temperature.
I have that, the Uller, I have that.
Just look at nature. I mean, if we didn't live in a house, if we were, you know, living the way Mother Nature designed us out in caves or whatever, the temperature goes down at night and our bodies cool off. And that's a very, very good thing to get your body into a deep, deep sleep. So keeping the temperature of the room too high at night is not a good thing for your circadian rhythm also.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, waking at the same time, sleeping at the same time, making sure you get exposed to 20 minutes of morning light, making sure you're eating in rhythmic times, that you're not eating 3 hours before bed, that you don't exercise in the evening, that you get rid of all the blue light at night and use your blue blocker glasses and get off your screens. You know, it takes time to retrain the circadian rhythms, but when you do, your overall well-being is so much higher. And sometimes we use herbs to help reset the adrenals, because the adrenals really get screwed up, and we'll use melatonin and we'll use adrenal support to help people kind of recover from it.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I do, and this is, I think, epidemic in the young kids, because I'm still recovering from some knee surgery that I had done because of a ski injury. And I'm going to the gym, and there are several young people in there who are literally addicted to their phones. They are on their phones as they're exercising, and they're texting and typing and doing all this stuff. And one of the things that I see in young people is that they are constantly checking their phones throughout the night. They're waking up and they're on social media, and I tell people, you turn your phone off and don't touch it the entire night. Done. Put it in another room if you need to, because
put it airplane mode. I mean, it's terrible.
It really is. It really is. And it's like, you know, I'm awake. I might as well just, you know, go on to Facebook or go on to social media or Twitter or whatever the heck they're doing. And it's toxic. It's very, very toxic for a whole bunch of different reasons.
I mean, worse, they'll leave their phone on, so with the notifications, so they'll wake up at their text, or they wake up with their notifications.
Right.
And yes. Sometimes I forget my nephew's in a different coast, whatever. I'll text them late at night. If I'm in Hawaii and he's like in California, I'm like, it's 3 a.m. and he's like answering my freaking text. And I'm like, what are you doing awake?
Exactly. Yeah.
So how would we begin to think about testing people's circadian rhythm?
Well, there's like, as you mentioned, the adrenals test. So we know that our adrenal glands produce cortisone and cortisol being the major one. And we have a thing called a cortisol awakening response. This is our get up and go hormone. It's the hormone that rises in the morning. There's a big peak in it, and then it gradually decreases as the day goes on. And we do testing for checking for adrenal function throughout the day, and especially with that cortisol awakening response, or they call it the CAR. And that rise should be about 50% or higher. And it also should be very low at nighttime. And sometimes when you see that cortisol awakening response being blunted, then you know that there's a problem with their circadian rhythm. And then if you also see that cortisol response high up at night, those are people who oftentimes can't fall asleep because they're sort of wired. They need something to control that. So that's one way of doing it. Another thing that I do is I also will check melatonin levels. So melatonin is the hormone of darkness, and it's a hormone. You can get melatonin as a over-the-counter supplement. It comes usually typically 1 to 3 milligrams. And I really almost never give a patient melatonin without checking their melatonin levels. There are some people, for whatever reasons, either age or pituitary or pineal problems, where they're not producing enough melatonin. I don't use melatonin willy-nilly, even though it's actually quite safe. There are certain circumstances where I'll use it. Things like jet lag, I oftentimes will use that myself if I'm going to go through several time zones to help to reset my my body clock. But checking melatonin levels is another thing that can be very, very helpful to make sure the person's body is in good sync. The other thing, which is also really important, is exercise. And this is a fascinating scientific trivia, is that our bodies, we talked about the mitochondria. Mitochondria really relate to energy. And mitochondria take food and make food into ATP, or adenosine triphosphate. So adenosine is the base molecule, and we stick 3 phosphate groups onto it. And ATP is the fuel that runs our body. And as we have activity throughout the day, our ATP gets broken down into ADP, or adenosine diphosphate, and then into adenosine monophosphate, and then into adenosine. And as those metabolic processes happen, our adenosine levels actually build up in the body. And that rise of adenosine is one of the things that induces sleep. And interestingly, caffeine, which we all know keeps you up, blocks adenosine. That's probably one of the major ways in which caffeine will actually keep people up at night, is it's acting as an adenosine blocker. So, and for people who are caffeine sensitive, you know, we do some testing, but people oftentimes will know that, but we can determine by genetic polymorphism testing if somebody is a slow metabolizer or an intermediate metabolizer of caffeine, because caffeine in general has a half hour, about 6 hours. So if you have a cup of coffee at 6 o'clock, at midnight, half of it's still going to be in your body. If you're a real ultra slow metabolizer of caffeine, you might want to have 1 cup of coffee, no more than 2, really early in the day, because that's still going to be in your body late at night and blocking adenosine's action.
Yeah, so incredible. So this whole area of chronobiology and circadian rhythms, so important. People are really excited, interested about this topic. I encourage you to check out our mentor's book, The Circadian Prescription. And also, you know, think about your own life. If you're feeling out of sorts or out of balance, you know, what is your rhythm like? And is that a source of some of your dis-ease or unhappiness or mood issues or sleep issues or energy issues? And often when we focus on the chronobiology piece and our rhythm, it can lead to profound healing for people. So it's often a neglected aspect of well-being, but I think it's super important. And Todd, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom about this on The Doctor's Pharmacy, on this special episode of The House Call. We'd love hearing from you. If you've been listening to this podcast, please share your thoughts about your own rhythm issues with us and leave a comment. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Share with your friends and family. And we'll see you next time on The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into The Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do, and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from. And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter, and in it, I share my favorite stuff, from foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter. And I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.